Right. So it does help rather than just lying around to have a topic that you share and so enter into a social activity, so to speak. I think awareness through movement is inherently that. It has a social aspect. But what I was thinking about recently was what Feldenkrais calls thinking while acting. So here in Awareness Through Movement, he says, in these lessons, the student learns to listen to the instructions while actually carrying out an exercise and to make the necessary adjustments without stopping the movement itself. This is italicized. In this way, he learns to act while he thinks and to think while he acts. This is old enough, so you just use the old English convention of the masculine. This is a step up in the ladder of ability from the man who stops thinking while he does something and stops acting when he wants to think. An experienced driver can easily carry out instructions while driving, while a beginner has difficulty doing this. In order to obtain maximum benefit from these exercises, the reader must therefore try to project the instructions for the next exercise without stopping the previous one and must continue the movement being performed while preparing thoughts for the next one. So it's an interesting idea. Awareness through movement isn't just about movement. We sense, think, move, and feel as a whole. That's sort of central to Feldenkrais's thesis. And so we have awareness through movement. And so we lie on our back and take up our contact with the floor. So, of course, you've already been doing so for a couple minutes. You can use your contact with the floor to get a sense of your overall shape in this particular relationship to gravity. If you were in standing, the soles of your feet would be to the floor. And your head would be to the ceiling. Here, your back is to the floor and your front is to the ceiling. Well, this will be a kind of background theme or trope in this lesson. So, however you approached your shaping, the quality of your breathing, your contact with the floor here at the beginning of the lesson, just note it. The idea you might recall it when throughout the lesson and particularly at the end. And now, here at the very beginning of the lesson, with your eyes closed, simply bring the palms together in front of the chest with the arms long and see how the hands come together. So, actually, take the arms out to the side and extend the arms and then bring them together and see how they touch. Do they touch kind of in the middle of yourself? Is one set of fingers a little farther forward than the other? How about the heels of the hands, if the palms are together? Does one arm seem a little longer or shorter? We'll come back to this later, so you'll just bring your arms out to the side and then bring them to the front. So I'll just bring the arms alongside. So bring the arms along your sides so they extend down here. And now take only the left hand forward directly in front of the shoulder. And rotate the arm around its axis. So in each direction, one way and then the other, slowly, with the sense that you look for, well, the sensation when you decide you've gone far enough in one direction and far enough in the other. Well, the sense that you find the middle here. So the arm is long, the elbow's off the floor, the arm is in the direction of the ceiling. And find the middle through sensing where it's easiest. So you don't sort of make an uninformed decision about neutral, kind of neutral rotation. You find how far you move comfortably in one direction, how far you move comfortably in the other, and then just find the middle there. Once you've found the middle, you can adjust it subsequently, but with the middle rotation, begin to take the arm forward in the direction of the ceiling a little bit and then back to the floor. So the arm stays forward, upright, in the room, vertical. And just reach forward of yourself toward the ceiling and then lower the shoulder to the floor again. So the arm is reaching in the direction of the ceiling throughout and goes forward and then back. So the whole arm goes forward and back. Forward here, of course, is up in the room. The arm stays long. All right, then bring the arm alongside and rest. And having done this, what was your image of the arm? Did you have an idea that forward or taking the arm back was somehow taking it down to the floor? And what's your sense of the arm? Did it include the clavicle, the shoulder blade? Where does the arm begin? Where does the arm end? At the fingertips, perhaps? How much was included? And what else moved? So take that left arm forward again. And now, as before, but imagine that the shoulder blade there behind is where you're lifting. So lift the shoulder blade away from the floor forward in order to lift the arm and return it. So you don't go as far as you can. You go as far as you can comfortably with the rotation of the arm neutral. So you don't just simply turn your hand one way or the other. You find a neutral rotation. And just lift the arm forward and take it back with this image of lifting that starts from behind the shoulder. And the shoulder lifts the arm. And notice, is that different? Does that change something in the way you lift or that the way you make sense of lifting? All right. And bring the arm alongside. Pause. Bring the left arm forward again. And now imagine that you're reaching for something with the fingertips, something that's just out of reach. As if you wanted to push something with a finger and take the arm forward and back again. Of course, the arm fully comes to rest between each movement. And how does this change your sense of the action or the sensations associated with the action? And how much of the shoulder is involved? How much of the upper left quadrant of the chest? Does it affect the neck or head at all, this action of reaching and returning? All right, then bring the arms alongside and rest. Of course, you can rest at any point, though I will call for rests. You can also continue a little bit if you like, if something's particularly engaging. So now bring the left arm forward again. And now bring the arm forward a small amount, and then drop it to tap the shoulder blade on the floor. So you don't control the return to the floor, you tap with the shoulder blade, so the shoulder drops. Keep the arm long and forward, and then tap the floor with the shoulder blade. Note what happens there. Is there a repercussion in the neck or the rib cage? What's the sensation of the part of the arm behind the shoulder where you meet the floor? And make it a little bit smaller and a little bit quicker. Increase the rate a little bit so you just reach forward and then drop the arm as a whole to tap the floor with the shoulder or shoulder blade. And change the pace a little bit. A little quicker, a little slower, you just vary it for yourself. And note, is your breathing affected? Are you still, have you changed your breathing? Have you held it perhaps? Make sure you can tap so that your breathing is continuous. All right, then leave it and bring the arm alongside and rest. Note your sense of the length of each arm. Is there a difference from left to right at this point? Does one arm seem shorter or longer than the other? If so, which one? All right, in the next movement here, there's a particular kind of pedagogic strategy that appears in Awareness Through Movement, which is to offer a fairly minimal instruction that requires a kind of sorting out on your own. And so we will return to it subsequently. You can just approach it with a little curiosity and also the same quality of keeping things light, reversible, that you could change in the middle, reasonably simple. So bring the left arm forward again and think through, given the constraint that you would leave the head on the floor, and it's not that you're going to sit up or stand up or something like that, how would you move, how would you reconfigure yourself to bring this extended arm as close to the ceiling as possible? So think that for a little bit, what that might mean. And then gradually build it up. So you would reach forward and take the arm as far forward in the direction of the ceiling as you can comfortably, leaving the head more or less on the floor. See that you don't hold your breath. Does the head get involved in any way? Where else do you work? Is it, do you begin to strain or attempt to extend where you can't extend? What are you leaving out? What are you including in terms of your the movement of your whole self? And be sure you don't only reach, but that you return to the floor and that there's a full pause before you reach again. And you think, maybe could the turning of the legs be involved, the turning of the trunk? Like I say, it's a bit of a puzzle. You can engage your curiosity. If you brought in more, how could you lift that arm a little farther forward in the direction or in the direction of the ceiling, specifically in the direction of the ceiling? All right, then bring the arm alongside and rest on your back. So this little puzzle will not go unaddressed. We'll return to it. We may approach it obliquely. Bring the left arm forward and take up this action again, the simpler action of just lifting the arm away from the floor and returning it. And as you reach with the left hand, the left arm, the left shoulder, allow the head to turn to the right. And as you bring the arm back to the floor, let the head come back to the center. See if there's a way that this can make sense, that the turning or the lifting of the arm turns the top of the chest, pushes the collarbone, moves the top part of the rib cage, the neck, the head, and then as the arm goes back, the nose comes back to the center. You see about coordinating that action so that it begins to become one thing. More of you is involved in this action of reaching and turning. Could even be that you start to turn the head to begin to lift the arm. And that the arm, the shoulder, the top of the rib cage, the neck and head are all entering into this action together in a coordinated fashion, which you discover for yourself through your own sensation and intention. All right, bring the arm down, rest. All right, bring the left arm forward again. And now, this time as the arm comes forward, turn the head to the left, toward the shoulder, as if you were looking over your own shoulder. Or maybe not quite looking over the shoulder, looking over the arm, at any rate, turning the head to the left as the arm comes forward. And then letting it return, returning it to the center as you return the arm to the floor. How's this? Does it change how simple it is to reach? Does it change how far you reach? Kind of differentiation of the movement of the head from the movement of the shoulder and arm. All right, and then add once when you lift the arm, turn the head toward it, and once turn it away from it. So on one lift, the head goes to the right and then returns to the middle. And on the next, the head rolls across to the left and reaches. So you reach on one turn, one lift, the head turns to the left, and on one lift, the head turns to the right. Maybe you can even begin to make it the movement of the head continuous, so that the head simply turns left and right and the arm lifts. Once with the turning of the head, once in the other direction. And you check that your breathing is continuous. Note how much of the rib cage is involved, how far down in the direction of the feet. Then leave it, take the arm alongside and rest. Take the left arm forward again in the direction of the ceiling. And now, as you lift the arm away from the floor, turn the pelvis so that the left hip comes a little away from the floor, or you turn a little more to the right side. And see, is there a way you can do that without pushing with the left heel? So the legs stay on the floor. And anything that's not specifically constrained here is available to you and within the context of the lesson. So then the hips come back square to the floor as the arm comes back down. Then when you lift, you turn the pelvis a little to the right. And you see, are you doing anything extra that you don't maybe need to do? Could you make the movement a little smaller or include something else in order to turn the pelvis to the right? Perhaps a rolling of the one leg or the other? And there's no need to make it particularly large, but the pelvis goes with the arm. And then bring the arm down for a moment, pause. Now bring the arm forward, the left arm, and this time as you reach with the arm, turn the pelvis to the left. So as the arm comes forward, the right side of the pelvis comes a little away from the floor. You see, what do you have to do in the middle of yourself to accomplish this? And is it simpler than the other side or less simple? Can certainly vary from person to person. What else comes into it to make that turning of the pelvis a little simpler? Note what you do with your breathing. Note if you have an idea that you have to move a certain amount to call it moving at all. Or can you be content with a relatively small movement? Or do you have a habit of going small and perhaps you could try something a little larger? What happens in the legs, the turning of them? Then leave it, bring the arm alongside and rest. All right, now roll to your right side so that you can lay on the right side and draw the knees up a little bit so that they're out in front of you. The front is now sideways in the room along the floor. And now extend the left arm in the direction of the ceiling here. Just Just now, relative to yourself, this is out to the side. Right? So now begin very, very gradually and with the small movements, begin to, from the shoulder blade perhaps, take the whole arm a little bit down and behind you, as if you were going to begin to bring the shoulder blade to the floor. So the arm continues to stay in the direction of the ceiling. It remains vertical throughout. It's a constraint here. And then you begin to allow the head to turn, the shoulder to move behind you, the upper rib cage to turn. The head begins to turn toward the ceiling. And then you come back up. So you build it up gradually, reversibly. And if you begin to consider taking the shoulder to the floor gradually, at some point, and in fact, find out for yourself, at what point do you begin to extend the top leg to allow the pelvis to turn, though the head and shoulders turn first? Just gradually build it up for yourself so that eventually you reach with the left leg and allow the pelvis to follow, and you gradually take the arm all the way to the floor so that it's still facing the reaching for the ceiling, but you'll find yourself eventually on your back with the legs long. So at what point does the left leg extend? Is that soon at the beginning? Is that somewhere in the middle? Really, the whole idea is that you sort that out for yourself. You might reach with the left leg first. You might reach with the right, but you see what makes sense. You just gradually build it up so that at the end, you're on the floor. And then an aspect of this is what Feldenkrais calls reversibility. So at no point do you suddenly fall to the floor. You move in a way where you kind of maintain your balance and an ability to turn back should you be so inclined. And then you reverse it and you come back to your side at any point along the way. And you can experiment with different parts of it. You go 60% and come back to 40% and then go to 70, or you can go through any part of the range and explore it. And check your breathing. That you are breathing. Then gradually build it up so that you're fully coming to your back with the legs long, but the initiation is the taking the arm behind. And then when you reverse it, that it's taking the arm forward. At what point does the pelvis turn and do the legs extend and they roll and become long as well? Doing so reversibly. And when you turn it back so that you reach with the arm, when does the pelvis come in? When do the legs roll? In service of taking the arm to the ceiling. It's not that you drag the legs with the arm, but you tie the movement together in a coordinated fashion, starting wherever makes sense with you, with this intent to reach. And then you note, with the head on the floor more or less and continuing to lie on the floor, this is the position with the arm closest to the ceiling. All right, next time you come to your back, bring the arm alongside and rest. What's the quality of your breathing here at this point? What's the quality of the movements of breathing? arrange the rhythms, sensations. Now here on your back, think it through, review what you've sorted out so far, and how it is that when you reach with the arm or have the intent to reach with the arm, that you bring the whole into play, the legs, the pelvis, the turning of the head, the orientation of the face, maintaining the arrangement of the arm forward in the direction of the ceiling. Now, of course, engaging in a kind of thinking, which is a particular kind of sensory motor imagination that's so close to action that you're almost beginning to act. You imagine the sequence of change of sensation, how the one shoulder will come away from the floor, how the hip will begin to press into the floor more on the right side, etc., all these pieces. And then when you have an image of action, take the left arm forward and simply enact it, that you reach in order to roll to the side. Nothing's left out. Nothing's left behind. Everything moves in service of this action of reaching while rolling. And then you reverse it once you come to your side and return to the back reversibly, smoothly, such that you could turn back around and go up at any time. But don't, just make the full movement. So you reach to roll and then bring that vertical arm back to the floor to come to your back. Let's get the notion that everything moving is in service of this idea of reaching to roll. One time perhaps emphasizing the drawing up of the knees, one time the movement of the shoulder blade, another time the turning of the feet or the head. You go from fully on the back with the arm forward to fully on the side with the arm to the side in the direction of the ceiling throughout. Next time you're on your back, bring the arm alongside and rest. And scan your contact with the floor here. You note any difference from here in the middle of the lesson from the beginning of the lesson. And if there's a difference, what kind of a difference? Is it clear? Not so clear? Related to a sense of length on one side or the other, or how much of you is in contact with the floor behind? And without thinking about it too much, take the arms out to the side and bring the palms together in front as we did at the beginning, and note how they come together now. So the palms come together and touch. How do they touch? It's one finger a little bit more forward if you don't think about it too much. You can try it once or twice. Just without thinking, just bring them together and see when you reach with the two arms how the palms come together. Is there a difference from the beginning or not? All right, then leave it. Bring the arms alongside. All right, now, as you rest on your back, begin to think through the sequence so far, to the degree that you can, and first imagine it, how you'll bring this through to the other side, so that the right side in your imagination, you'll work through, so that the right arm will be forward, and then you'll begin to turn the arm, find that center of easy, neutral, which you'll use later. And then that sequence of moving the arm forward and back and including movements of the head in one way and the other, movements of the pelvis. And you don't have to, if you remember it all in order, great. Otherwise, maybe as you piece it together, it will unfold a little bit. If you made some sense of it on the with the left arm forward, maybe that will carry over. And once you've, in imagination, worked that through, you can try it. If you're still working it through in your imagination and you need to check something, check it on the left side, so that when you come to the right side, you can just begin and go through the sequence. Yeah, leave your head on the floor so you don't have to pull up. Just work it through on the right for yourself. And not just the whole movement, but some of the build up to it, the tapping of the shoulder, the rotation of the arm on the back, the alternation of the movement of the head and the arm. Just sort of work it through for yourself, the various parts. How would you bring what you did on the left over to the right? Perhaps that would be integrating the head with the lifting of the arm simply, turning the head against. Perhaps that action of reaching so that the head turns one way and then the other on alternating lifts. You make it reversible at any point, you in any of these movements that you could easily pause and turn back. Another sort of central principle in awareness through movement, that the breathing is continuous, not tied to the action necessarily. You just build it up so that you're doing the full movement gradually. And then maybe you think a few things and then do it a few times. As you begin to develop the skill of thinking, imagining, projecting action, etc., as well as simply moving. Simply. All right, do one or two of the full movements, and when you're ready to leave it, rest on your back with the arms alongside. As you rest on your back, note the movements of breathing, the pace of breathing, the relationship between the inhalation and the exhalation, the duration or length of each on their own and relative to the other, without any idea that you need to change anything. This is to observe without making an adjustment is indeed a skill. Jiddu Krishnamurti, for those of you who might know him at one point, said, "Observation without evaluation is the highest form of human intelligence." You see, if you cannot think that you need to change what you're doing, but just take a look at it. All right, bring both arms forward in the direction of the ceiling. And begin to reach with both simultaneously and return them to the floor. And note the differences side to side. The arms are more or less parallel. And then if you establish a simple rhythm so that you reach and return, one that the rhythm that's comfortable for you. And then compare that, count the number of movements of the shoulders in one cycle of breathing, perhaps starting at the bottom of the inhalation. And as you inhale and then exhale and come back to that point, how many times have you brought the arms forward and back? If you're moving slowly, it may be a partial number. Just get a sense of what that number is over several cycles of breathing, with your choice of the rhythm of the arms. Can you see if it's possible that you have adjusted the rate of breathing a little bit, or if you left it more or less the way it was? Note that you have to, in order to count movements per cycle of breathing, you have to know when you begin and when you start and when you stop. And bring the arms alongside and rest for a moment. Keep that count in mind, whatever it was for you. And bring both arms forward again and leaving the cycle of breathing more or less undisturbed. Whatever that count was, double it. So the arms move forward and back twice as many times in one cycle of breathing. Get a sense where you start in the cycle of breathing, when you finish, that you can leave the breathing more or less undisturbed and change that number of reaches to fit double into the cycle of breathing. Maybe you make the movement a little smaller to do so that your breathing isn't affected. Then whatever that number is, the original number is, that is, triple it. Three times as many actions in one cycle of breathing. Perhaps smaller, certainly quicker. Check that you don't begin to hold your breath while you're comparing the count to the cycle of breathing. Then leave it, bring the arms alongside, and rest. Right, this is not the end of the lesson just yet, but choose a side to roll to and a way to roll to your side, and roll to one side and come to stand for a moment. See if you can come up without too much work. And pause in standing before you start adjusting yourself too much. And just get know what it's like to be over your feet in this orientation relative to the floor, to gravity. How the two arms hang, what's your sense of your two shoulders. How the arms rest at the top of the rib cage. What your sense of the length on each side is. What the quality of breathing is like, where you note movement, the fullness or shortness of the phases of inhalation and exhalation. And then more or less reversing what you did to stand up, come back to the floor and rest on your back. This action in itself is one we can and will explore in future lessons. All right, bring both arms forward again, parallel to each other, vertical in the room, forward relative to yourself. With a kind of neutral rotation, not a particular rotation. You can find what's comfortable. And then leaving the left arm more or less where it is, just reach and return with the right arm. And note, does the head come in a little bit, the movement of the upper chest? This time reversibly, so you simply move forward and come back without a drop. You know, long on the back here, reaching with just that right arm. What comes in, is your breathing continuous? What's it like to take just the right arm forward with the left one long? And switch and leave the right arm quiet and reach with the left. Allow the head to come in a little bit as that arm comes forward, the associated collarbone moves, which is directly connected to the top of the sternum, the front of the rib cage at the top of the chest. Find those relationships there a little bit. And leave it, bring the arms alongside and pause. All right, bring both arms forward. And now, as you bring both arms away from the floor, very lightly press into the floor with the back of the head as you take both arms forward. And then as you return them, once you return them, press into the floor a little bit with the back of the shoulders and very, very small amount, just begin to lift the head, almost like you just unweight it a little bit. You don't even have to take it away from the floor. And then alternate here so that as you reach with both arms, you very gently press with the back of the head, and then you bring the arms down and let that go. And as you push with the shoulders, you make a very small movement of unweighting the head, bringing it forward just a little bit. what happens in the neck, the position of the chin, what changes behind the shoulders or at the back of the head in each of these actions, what goes on in the neck and the top of the rib cage, what pushes more into the floor, perhaps more to the point, what comes away from the floor when you push with one, at one location, what moves elsewhere. All right, and then take the arms alongside. Pause here. Bring both arms forward. And now, simply bring both arms forward and then tap with them so that you drop the arms back to the floor and tap with the shoulder blades. Get the sense of the length of the arms, how the weight of the forearms carried in the elbow joint. The weight of the whole arm is carried in the shoulder joint. And vary the rate a little bit, leaving your breathing undisturbed, so you go a little quicker or a little slower. Make the movement a little smaller as you go quicker, likely. It can be kind of a teeny quick movement or a larger deliberate movement. Note that if the rate changes, likely the size changes. If you want to keep it comfortable, simple, reversible. Reversibility is an interesting idea here with something like dropping included. We can expand on that at another time, but just vary the rate that you tap with the shoulders, leaving the breathing alone. All right, then bring the arms alongside and rest. Bring both arms forward once more and return to this action of lifting the one arm from the floor and then the other. So first lift with one arm, then as it comes back and comes to the floor, lift the other away. And see, does that movement of the shoulder and then the top of the rib cage bring the head in? What happens to the shape of the neck? How does the chin or the nose or the eyes move along with the head, of course, but leave both arms forward here and just stay forward, reaching toward the ceiling rather than lowering one to the floor, rather than putting your hand to the floor. Both the hands are toward the ceiling throughout. You can simply take one arm toward the ceiling and then the other. You see if you can leave your breathing again, undisturbed, more or less. Note how the head is included and passes through the center line at some point, that both arms are on the floor in the middle there, and then one comes forward, or perhaps you're coordinating it a little differently than that. That the head rolls as well as the shoulders. All right, and then bring the arms alongside and pause. Now think it through in your imagination. That is, you'll bring both arms forward And first you'll reach with one arm and bring it as high off the floor as you can, as we did earlier. And then you'll come back to your back and reach with the other arm and bring it as far from the floor, as close to the ceiling as you come to your side as possible given these constraints. Of course, the legs will be involved, the pelvis. You'll initiate wherever it makes most sense to enact this intention of reaching. And then when you got a sense of it, do it in actuality. Take it up. Both arms come forward. You reach, leaving one more or less forward. It's an interesting constraint. The elbow may come to the floor perhaps, but reach with one arm to come to your side, to bring the hand toward the ceiling. Come all the way to the side, and then reverse it and go back to your back and go to the other side. Maybe that non-reaching arm, the elbow, will come to the floor perhaps. So it's maybe if you're reaching with the left arm, the right elbow may come to the floor. Just keep the hand in the direction of the ceiling, more or less. Then you reverse it and come to your back. Again, leaving nothing out. You intend to reach, and you roll to reach. Turning of the head's included. The arms stay more or less toward the ceiling, at least the hands. And then you don't pause in the middle. Just go from one side to the other, using the legs, breathing continuously, integrating the turning of the head and face. Come fully, bring the arm fully toward the ceiling on your side, on one side, and then the other. Drawing the knees up in front, extending them below as you roll through being on your back. Really getting a sense how everything moves in a coordinated way in service of this action of reaching. With your breathing in the background, relatively unaffected. You're welcome to do a few more movements if you're enjoying it, or still exploring something, or refining a coordination of some location and another. Again, please continue as you wish. And when you're ready to rest, come to rest on your back. When you rest, rest fully with the arms alongside. Take up your contact with the floor, the movements of breathing, how the head rests back against the floor. Note what the sense of length along each side is like. If there's anything left over that suggests that you did too much somewhere, or note that there's a sort of set of sensations that go along with a kind of distributed effort in a lesson. Kind of regulation or of muscular tone, tonus. Which is reflected, of course, in how you rest on the floor at the end of a lesson. You can compare it to the beginning, what you recall of that. And when you're ready, choose a side. Roll to your side and to sit, and then to stand. Pause whenever you like, but certainly pause in standing before you adjust your hair or your clothes or before you begin to engage others. Get a sense of how the two arms hang. What's the position of the hands relative to the thighs? What your breathing is like here, where you find movement of breathing in the rib cage, the front, the back, the sides, the belly. And begin to walk. See what it's like to move about and begin to turn and look at the room, to the sides, above and below, the other people present. In other words, to engage the environment, and we will call it a lesson. Arm reaching forward, rolling to side from the San Francisco training that Feldenkrais did. This one was on June 16th in 1975 for the practitioners present. Thank you, everyone.